I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 11. Saw a statement the other day that rang so true. Said, I know that giving you advice makes it seem like I'm a know-it-all, but the truth about it really is this. I've done more stupid things than you.
Don't count on it.
I thought that was a good statement for John Reeves. I don't want to go around trying to give people advice, but that last part of that statement did that rang home. Yeah, I can tell you about some dumb things not to do. You ask my dear mother, who sits right there with us this afternoon, this morning, and she'll tell you, John always had to do it the hard way. He was one of the five children that learned things the hard way. When I was little, you remember those cigarette lighters that you stick in and you pop them in there and they pop out when they're hot? And I was told, don't touch that. And this was at a real young little age. And, as soon as they got out of that pickup truck, I touched it. I shared that with you because this man who stands before you is not one of the wiser men of this world. There are some men and women who can take the heart out of one human being and put it in another. Now that's wisdom of the world. That's something God has really blessed us with. Our dear brother Tim Burnett down there in Yucumba, he just had a valve replaced. They took a bovine heart or something out of a bovine and put it in his heart. And it works. Isn't that amazing? I'd have never even thought of coming up with something like that. Allow me, if you would, to read from Luke chapter 10:21. I'll be right there with you in Isaiah. Hold your spot there. I'll be right there. Luke chapter 10, verses 21, we read this. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. He's talking about those who are wise of the world. He's talking about hiding the spiritual truths from those who think they know all that there is to know of this world. Philosophers. Self-righteous religious people. Thank you for hiding these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. Are you with me in Isaiah chapter 11? Look with me, if you would, at verses 1 and 2. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord. We just read about that in the psalm. Those that fear the Lord. We're not talking about the fear of condemnation. Do you fear? I do. I fear pain. I was talking with somebody the other day. I pray the Lord will let me go to sleep and not wake up. I know I know there's a possibility many in today's world go to sleep through pain and suffering. I fear somebody coming into my house and hurting my wife. My grandson just drove all the way back to Oklahoma. I was fearful for him. I know how the world is out there. I know how hard it is to drive that long of a distance without sleeping. I was fearful for him. That's not what this fear is that we're talking about. This is a reverential fear. This is looking at the one who is almighty. Some of you may be like me, and you had a father who was way taller than me. I know, I was just a little kid, so everything's taller than you at that age. So, but I looked up to him with reverential fear. Yes, I was fear of the whip, but that's still not the fear we're talking about. We're talking about the one who's going to take care of me. We have a reverential fear for our mother and our father because they take care of us. Some, you could say, even have a reverential fear for their king. Although the world today doesn't have kings and queens like it used to, or at least none that we know of. They might have some still in Africa and other places of the world that we don't hear much about. But for the most part, those who run the countries are dictators who have taken over or whatever, but you know what I'm saying, as far as reverential fear. Fear of the Lord. Now I want you to turn over to Ephesians, if you would, please. Ephesians chapter 1. This wisdom that rests upon this branch, this one for who is known as the Messiah, this one who is called the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord of all, is this one that this reverence is talking about, this fear of. And the wisdom comes from the reverential fear of who He is. God Almighty. Our Creator in the flesh. It's a reverential fear of His power. Folks, Jesus Christ has all power. That's our assurance that His salvation for His people is true and sure. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It is a sure thing. Because all power in heaven and earth is His to wield. It says in Psalms 111 verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." I like that. Especially knowing that everything I've done all my life has always been the hard way. Why? Because John has not been a very wise person. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. I'm not saying that just to be funny. It's the truth. Fear of the Lord. Reverential fear of who He is, what He has done for His people, and where He is right now. He's on His throne. He's not in that grave anymore. He's on His throne, ruling everything, making everything happen exactly according as it is to His desire. And His desire is this, that all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He says so in His Word. This is the beginning of wisdom, reverential fear, the high esteeming of who the Lord is compared to everything else. This one who was with the Father from all eternity past, this one who was with God and is God, became flesh and He dwelt among us. He is the wisdom of God, it says. The wisdom of God is that He would give His Son to a people to redeem. And He did exactly that. He redeemed His people by coming to the cross of Calvary and laying down His life for us. Shedding His own blood, the blood of God, the power of that blood in our stead. Taking the wrath that we deserve upon Himself as our substitute, our scapegoat. When the priests of old had their goat and they put their hands on him and then they would take him outside the camp and slaughter him. Our scapegoat hung on that cross at Calvary a little over 2,000 years ago for us. With all of our sins made His. And the results are all of His people. All of His people before us, all of His people right now, and all of His people after you and I leave shall come to Him and be as righteous as He is. This is the beginning of wisdom. This is the beginning of knowledge. Reverential fear of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. My prayer for you this morning is the prayer our brother Paul prayed for and that he had for the church at Ephesus. Are you with me in Ephesians chapter 1? Look at verses 15 if you would. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to these words, folks. Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Of knowing who He is. Knowing what He's done. And knowing where He is right now. The knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of whose power? Of His mighty power. In Romans 8, you don't need to turn there, very familiar verses. Verse 32, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who are the us? Who are those that He freely gives all things to? Look at verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 1. They are all those who are chosen in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. Who are they us? They are all those who are predestinated to be adopted children by Jesus Christ according to His good pleasure. Look at verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Who are the us? They are all those who are accepted in the Beloved. Look at verse 8. Wherein He hath abounded towards us all wisdom and prudence. Oops, 6. I read the wrong letter. Verse 6. To the praise and the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Who are the us? The us are all those who have been redeemed through His blood. Now look at verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. How? How shall He not, by the Lord Jesus Christ, give us all things? He spared not His own Son. How shall He not give us all things? We read in John 3:16 these familiar words again. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. These are the us, the whosoever. These who have been, by the irresistible grace of God, given the gift of faith. The gift of faith that is spoken of in verse 8 of chapter 2. This wisdom is not a wisdom that you can get from books or studying. This wisdom cannot come by anything man can do, for the things of man are of this world. God's ways are not our ways according to His word. Christ comes to His people when they are dead in trespasses and sin, and He quickens them. He gives them life through the preaching of His gospel, the only gospel, and that's the gospel of Christ and Him crucified. Many in churches today have tried to turn their pulpits into some kind of a gospel saying, look at the good things we have done. Now, won't you make a decision and join us? God's preachers talk about Christ and what He has done for us, not what we have done for Him. Hold your, mark your place there in Ephesians, if you would. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. My title this morning is The Spirit of Wisdom. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? I've already shared with you how unwise John can be and how unwise John is. But aren't you thankful that there is a wisdom? A wisdom that God gives His people? The wisdom, the revelation of His Son, our Savior? Do you know He didn't have to do that? God doesn't have to be merciful to any of us, but thank you, and aren't you glad that He is to some? He didn't have to be merciful to any of us, but yet He is. He delights in mercy. That makes me feel great. That's my assurance, is that my Lord is merciful to some, that He maybe He'll be merciful to me. And the very fact that He has revealed His truth to me of who He is, what He's done for me, you know, that's a personal experience, isn't it? I can tell you all about the wonders of what my Lord has done for me, but for you to know it, He has to do it for you. Do you see yourselves as sinners, deserving the wrath of God? Is God merciful in showing you His love for His people, that He is merciful to them despite what they are? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we begin reading at verse 17. Paul writes, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us," and here's that wisdom, here comes that wisdom, "unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Oh, these are great words to a sinner. "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath God not made foolish the wisdom of this world? "For after that, in the wisdom of God, that the world by wisdom knew not God." Those wise priests, with their wonderful coats on and all the bells and whistles that they wore, and walked around through the streets saying, "Look at me," had no idea. They had no reverential fear for the true and living God who stood right before them. You and I had that same lack of reverential fear at one time in our lives too. Once a blind man, but now we see. "Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Can you apply that to your own heart? It must come from Christ Himself. This wisdom must be revealed from God the Father. We know this before our Lord told some unbelieving Jews, "You believe not because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice," He said. It must come from the Lord Jesus. When the Lord Jesus asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" He said, "Thou art the Son of the living God." He said, "Blessed art thou, because flesh and blood hath not revealed it, but my Father in heaven." Blessed art thou, for blood, flesh and blood hath not revealed this. We cannot get there because we got smart one time and exercised our so-called free will. Romans 9:15, we read this, for he saith to Moses, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." We must be given the spirit of wisdom, as it says in verse 17 of Ephesians. Flip back to Ephesians for just a moment there. As it said in verse 17, "That the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom." Did you see that? You're not going to get this from going to college and studying the books. Just as faith, repentance, and every other heavenly blessing is, it must come through the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that what we read over there in verse 1? Grace, or 2 and 3. "Grace be unto you, peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." We're still going to keep our spot marked here in Ephesians. We're going to go back to 1 Corinthians again. This time I would like you to join me at verse 29. And this is the reason why this wisdom must be given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. All spiritual blessings must come through Him. Verse 29 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, "That no flesh should glory in His presence." Folks, we'll glory in anything that we can. It's our nature. It's by our very nature for John to hit a golf ball down the middle of the fairway one time and say, "Ah, look what I did." I do that. I know. I know it's the Lord. But my flesh says, "Look at me, look what I just did." It may not say that to the guys around me, but it's saying that to me in my own heart. Is that not true with you also? Our Lord will not share His glory with anyone or anything. He is Lord of all, so therefore all glory goes to Him. "That no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Whew. Sometimes I remind myself when that ball goes off into the weeds, the Lord's reminding me that it is of Him. I did everything exactly the same way that I could, as far as I can tell, everything I did exactly the same way, and yet the ball goes over there instead of down the middle. Who makes anything to differ? My Lord is the first cause of everything because He is Lord of all. Is He your Lord? Is He Lord of all to you? You see, folks, the spirit of wisdom is the gift of knowing that it is all of God. Mike just sang that song. "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the world will grow strangely dim. All these things that we thought we were so smart of, as we turn and see the one who truly is wise in all things. As we are turned by Him to see His wisdom in everything, including our trials. And we may not see that wisdom right away. I know the pain can be overwhelming in some of our trials. But eventually, as a child of God, He will show you. He will show you that all things are for our good. The spirit of wisdom is the gift of knowing that it is all of God. To God be the glory. There is no room for anything of you to hang on to of yourself. The world will turn strangely dim. It is not of all your works or your will or anything else that you can think of. It is of Christ. That's why the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those that perish. When our Lord said it is finished, people thought, okay, salvation's done now. I've got to do something to accept it. I need to do something. Our Lord said it is finished. Salvation is of the Lord. And when He said it is finished, it took all that man could do out of the picture. And that goes against our very nature. There's always something we need to do, right? What must I do to be saved? Listen to an article written by Pastor Frank Tate. Pastor Tate is of Ashland, Kentucky. Religious people, he writes, hold dearly to many doctrinal beliefs. Some true, some untrue. But the real issue remains the same as when the Lord talked with the Pharisees in Matthew 22:42, when He said, "What think ye of Christ?" You see, folks, that's the issue. What think ye of Christ? It's the only real issue. If you would be saved, you must know and trust the Lord Jesus Christ set forth in Scriptures. We cannot trust in the Jesus who was made up of our own imagination. We must believe the Lord Jesus Christ as He is set forth in Scriptures. Christ the Savior is God in human flesh. He's come in the power, the righteousness, the holiness, the love, the grace, and the mercy of God to save His elect people that the Father had given Him to save before the world was. And the Lord Jesus Christ fully and eternally saved those people by His obedience to the law for them and His sacrifice for their sin as their substitute. If you would be saved, you must trust the Christ of the Bible to be all your salvation. He must be your all. He must be all of your righteousness without any works of your own added to Him. He must be all of your holiness, all of your redemption, all of your hope, and all of your eternal life. Now, what think ye of Christ? Is He the Savior for whom your soul trusts? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, it says. Now go back to Ephesians chapter 1. And while you're turning there, allow me to read from Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not things on the earth. Look to Christ and the world will grow strangely dim. We're talking about spiritual wisdom, spiritual knowledge, the things of heaven. Look at verses 18 through 23 of Ephesians. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward, who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body of the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Folks, I say again, if your trust is in anything that you might find in yourself, then throw it out. The spirit of wisdom, I so hope, is a desire for you. This spirit of wisdom that we just read about, I hope it is your desire to be filled with that wisdom, filled with Christ. It is the Holy Spirit who speaks only of Christ. It is Christ the Lord, your all in all. Does your heart burn within you as you see the things of Christ brought out in Scripture? Look once again at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and then we'll come back to Ephesians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the power, Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Did I share this story with you recently? Turn back to Ephesians chapter 2. I may have, so if I'm repeating myself, I apologize. But it's a good story. Preacher going through to go, he was asked to come preach at a town over in England. And he's on his way that way, and it was a little bit of a traveling. He had to go through a town. And as he went through that town, his friend that was in that town found out about it, and he stopped him. He says, hey, you got to spend the night somewhere. Stay here with us and preach for us tonight, will you? And he says, sure, I'll do that. And he stayed and he preached there, and everybody that attended that night were so blessed. It was such a good message. And he went on his way, and he went to the church that he was going called to come to, and he preached there. And then, but before he left, his friend said, hey, you got to come back by through here. Could you stop on the way back and preach again? Oh, yeah, sure, I'll do that. So he went on, he preached, and he comes back. This time, the first minister had told everybody, look, he's coming to preach again. Come on back. And they did. And he preached. And afterwards, they all kind of like, you know, that wasn't as good as last week. Last week, you really got a good message. I don't know what happened. It wasn't all that good this week. And the preacher said to him, he says, why were you here last Wednesday? Well, we came to hear a word from God. So what did you come here tonight for? Well, we heard you were going to be here. We came to hear a message preached. He says, that's your problem. Came to hear a word from a minister. When you came last Wednesday, you came to hear from God. Folks, do you come here to hear a word from John? If that's all you heard today, you're going to be sorely disappointed. Oh, how I pray that God has shined his wisdom in your hearts. Are you with me in Ephesians chapter 2 this time? Look at verse 7 through 22. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers of the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in both body, in one body, by this cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that which were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, and are built up upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom you have a building fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, and in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now folks, this wisdom that the Spirit gives his people is Christ Jesus. It's not something that we have in this flesh. It's something we have in our heart. That's where the Lord Jesus dwells in us. Do you know that? He dwells in our hearts. That's what gives us the ability to walk around through this world that we go through and point to things like that beautiful rock down there in Yosemite. By the way, have you ever seen that at 30,000 feet? That's pretty cool. I stood at the bottom of that rock and went, oh, wow. That's what gives us the ability to look at things like God's creation and say, look what our Lord has done. The wisdom of this world wants to tell you that that rock is 2 billion years old. I'm telling you that my Lord made that rock. And it doesn't matter when it was, how old it is. He says in his word that he made the world to look old already. Did you know that Adam came in as a man, not as a baby? Wisdom is not in us. It's in him who dwells in us. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. Would you stand with me, please?